with your speaker, Don McWhorter.
Thank you for joining us for this session of Bible Talk. The Lord has opened for us a great door of opportunity. This program is available to countless thousands, millions of people, because it can be received in so many different ways. I'm glad, as this door is open, that you're willing to look through that open door and watch the program. Got something to write with, something to write on. We're going to be talking about a lot of different verses, and I think if you'll write them down, when you come back to this study, you'll be able to take your own Bible and look these verses up. And, you know, you already have some great help necessary in understanding the subject. This is Bible talk, you know. So get your Bible, and we'll study together what God has to say to us. I want to talk about a statement that's made in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. In writing to these dear people, they were closest to the heart of Paul of any of the congregations with which he worked. But he made this wonderful statement: the Lord is at hand. Isn't that wonderful to know? You know, in this physical world, we can see and we can hear, we can smell, we can taste. Those are the four senses. We have three divisions in our ability to see, but there's something just out beyond all that. It's the spiritual realm, and Jesus is there close by with His Father. We need to understand how wonderful it is to have our Lord so close. Now, that's His promise. Remember that He is the one whose promises are faithful, Ephesians 3, verse 20. We have to also remember that these promises, according to Simon Peter, 2 Peter 1, verse 4, are exceeding great and precious promises. That's why God's Word is so wonderful. It moves our hearts in so many different ways, so many different places. So I want us to look at some instances in today's study where we need the Lord and where we know He is at hand. We want the Lord at hand when we come to the realization of sin and we want to be delivered from it, don't we? Well, it begins with a new birth of water and the Spirit. A man has to become God's child instead of a child of Satan. You know, there are those that Jesus characterized as being, "You are of your father, the devil," in John 8, verse 44. We need to understand that unless one is a child of God, he doesn't have any spiritual blessings. All of them are in Christ, Ephesians 1, verse 3. And we have to be in Christ in order to receive them. That's why this new birth of water and the Spirit is so necessary. In verse 3 and again in verse 5 of John chapter 3, Jesus said, "Unless a man is born again of water and the Spirit, he can't go to heaven." We drive God away. He's close at hand. While we're seeking salvation, if we want it, He's right there. He delivers us. I was delivered by my own mother. There was nobody there. Sent for the doctor, but he was out fox hunting, and of course Daddy was out looking for him, and so I was delivered by my mother. Some of you older people may have been delivered by a midwife, but nearly all the people that are watching this program today were delivered by a doctor sometime in the home, but now, almost without exception, delivered in a hospital unless there is some kind of problem that keeps you from getting there in time. But God is the one that delivers us in this new birth. You know, back in the Old Testament, one had to be born of the flesh and blood of Abraham in order to be a partaker of the covenant God made with that man. Now, Jesus gave us a new covenant. It is a spiritual covenant. Galatians 3, 26 and 27 and 28 tells us that we are in a covenant relationship with God just like that Abrahamic covenant. but it's a covenant now that has to do with spirit, not flesh and blood. So this new birth has to take place. And without it, we're not going to be able to enter heaven. There was that covenant that was sealed because they had the flesh and blood of Abraham and because the covenant itself was sealed with the sign of circumcision. Paul tells the people at Colossae that we are also sealed into such a covenant relationship with God. He said, being circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the putting off of the sins of the flesh. How wonderful it is to know when we want to be saved, the Lord is there. The Lord is at hand. Probably most people are familiar with Luke chapter 15. More familiar than with any other of the stories of the Bible. This is the story of the prodigal son. Here was the one who came to his father. The father who had graying hair. The father who had wrinkled face. The father who had calloused hands. And said, I want my part of my inheritance now. He wouldn't wait for it. What happened? The father gave him what he asked for. But you know, he went out to a far country to spend it. A lot of times we live in a day today where people have no sense of shame at all. They just as soon sin the horrible sins in the presence of their mother and father as to be anywhere else. But there was a time when people who wanted to live this kind of sinful life wanted to go somewhere else to do it. So he went to a far country. Oh, he had lots of friends because he had lots of money. He wasted his substance with riotous living. When the money was gone, so were the friends. He had to find a place to stay and a way to live. He sold himself almost into bondage, into servitude to a Gentile, to do something that a Jew felt was the most reprehensible thing to do in the world. The hog was a very unclean animal. But he sold himself into service to feed the swine. And he was so hungry that he fain would have filled his own belly with the husks that the swine ate. But you know, he came to himself. He got to thinking about it. This is foolish. This is stupid. Why, the servants back at my father's house have more than I have. And so when he came to himself, he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to my father and I'm going to tell him, Father, I've sinned in heaven against you. God knows it in heaven. In your sight, in God's sight, I just simply want you to take me back as one of your hired servants. And we know it didn't turn out that way. Luke 15 tells us in verse 17 that his father had been watching and waiting, and when the son came, he ran to meet him. Does God run? This is a picture of God. When his children have wandered away from him and become prodigals like this boy, he's at hand, waiting for us to come back home. Preceding the story in the same chapter, verses 7 and 10, we are told of the great joy there is in heaven, by the angels even, over one soul that comes to repentance. In Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7, we're told how anxious the Lord is to pardon our sins. Oh yes, the Lord is near. He is, according to the statement made to the people at Philippi, He is at hand. John writes it this way, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, verse 9. But let me tell you something else. The Lord is at hand when we face temptation. Oh, what a power temptation has. And how well Satan uses it. You see, it's this that draws us away from God. Matthew chapter 4, we have the great example of Jesus. Oh, yes, he was God in the flesh, but he was also in the flesh. He did not use, in facing temptation, any power that is not made available to any child of God who's still in the flesh. We can withstand temptation. When Satan tempted him in so many ways, he turned it down and overcame it, was victorious in all those ways. And you see, he tells us this in order that we might know the Lord is at hand. Are you facing temptation? The Lord is there waiting to help you get through it. Yes, temptation's strong. But I don't want to give in to it. Do you? Well, I don't have to give in to it. You don't have to give in to it either. The Lord wants to make sure that we understand His near presence and His anxiousness to see us saved from our sin. God is anxious to pardon us, as we noted a moment ago from Isaiah 55. But let me tell you what we have to face. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us about the wiles of the devil. Why did you come out wide open and say, "Look at me, I'm Satan, and I'm like a roaring lion, I'm going to eat you alive"? He came in very subtle ways, and so we learn about the wiles of Satan. Oh, but the Lord is at hand. We're told about the fiery darts of Satan. We've worn the whole armor of God. And when we do, we have the shield of faith. And the whole armor is mentioned there in Ephesians chapter 6 that we are using from head to foot, with the sword, the Word of God, and the shield of faith to protect us. Peter says they are the fiery darts of the wicked or evil one. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. God's there. When temptation comes our way, and so all we have to do is turn to Him, seek His help, seek His presence. The Lord is at hand. Isn't it great to know that? The Lord is at hand when we want to pray. You know, the child of God is the only one that has the privilege of prayer. John 9:31, the man who had just been healed from his blindness by Jesus Christ, knew a great and wonderful truth. When they said, "Why don't you say the devil did this and we'll leave you alone?" He said, "It couldn't have been. This man healed me by his prayers." John 9:31, we know that God only hears those who worship Him. Jesus Himself reminds us in John chapter 8 that those who will not follow Him, those who choose to do the biting and the bidding of Satan, are the children of Satan. Whose prayers will He hear? He will hear ours, because we are His children. Isn't it great to know? When those hours come and we need so desperately to call upon God, that He's close by. He is at hand. He's going to hear. We can't touch Him with our hands, see Him with our eyes, hear Him with our ears, smell Him with our nose, or taste Him with our mouth, but I'll guarantee you this, dear friend. He is close by. He wants us to pray. And that's why we're told, pray without ceasing. And Luke 18:1 begins a parable, a story. Jesus taught His disciples a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Now, we can't do that unless we are children of God. One who is not a child of God cannot say, "My Father in heaven." We gain that right only when we have sought His forgiveness first in that new birth of water and the Spirit. God is faithful to hear us. And God is faithful to deliver us from sin. God is faithful there in those temptations, but oh, the prayer that comes, God listens to it with such zeal and fervency. He feels it even more than we do. And with us, it's a great emotion to be able to pray to God. The Lord is at hand. You know, the Lord is also at hand when the time comes that we are going to have to face the sorrows and the tears of life. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul talked about Epaphroditus. Now, God had heard the prayer concerning Epaphroditus, but He also knew of the sorrow and the tears of this man. He was penitent for the sins that he had committed. And for that reason, God was near. He knew of those prayers. The eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. Why? He sees every tear that we shed. They're precious to Him. In the Old Testament, they were precious. They were saved up in a tear bottle as a reminder of the nearness of God and of the horrible situation of sin, the sorrow that it brings. But there was proof that their sorrow had been made manifest. And God's going to be near us when we pray. He heard the prayer concerning Hezekiah. Isaiah talks of it in Isaiah 35, verse 8. Here was a man who was going to die soon. But through his tears, through his sorrow, he prayed to God, and God heard that prayer and delivered him. The man lived because God changed the time of his death. We live in a cursed world. Death has to come because of the sin of Adam. God not only cursed Adam and Eve because of their sin, but He cursed the earth into which we're born, and so we have to suffer not the guilt of their sin, but we have to suffer the consequences of their sin. It is appointed when a man wants to die. And after this comes the judgment. Hebrews 9, verse 27. Adam and Eve were separated from God the day they died, and we suffer that kind of spiritual death from which we can only be delivered by a new birth, and we can only come back to Him as Christians through prayer. But God told Adam and Eve, in the day you eat this fruit, because I've commanded you not to eat it, and that day you'll die. That was a spiritual death. They lived hundreds of years after that. But then physical death came. And that's been passed down to all men because all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3, verse 21. The sin of Adam. But on the other hand, if Adam had not sinned, I would have. All do. There's not a just man that walks on the face of the earth without sinning. The great prophet Jeremiah tells us. So there are times when our hearts are broken by our sins. This boy that came back home to his father came because of a broken heart. He came to himself. And so there are those times when we must be brokenhearted. A loved one dies. Our heart is broken by the action of our children. Our hearts are broken because we've plowed a deep furrow into the heart of God and we've brought great sorrow to Him. There are so many times that tears and sorrow come our way. But I'm glad to tell you, the God who is faithful to His promises has promised us He will be at hand. we're also looking for situations for God's presence when the time comes for death. We know it's coming. Didn't we read a moment ago, Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die? Not long ago, I preached a sermon to you. I said, good news, you're dying. I know that caught a lot of people unaware, but were it not for death, which is necessary, but at the same time a great blessing, because we don't have to stay on and on and on and on with a body that's wearing out more and more and more and getting older and older and older. But death is a time of heartbreak and sorrow. David could say, Psalm 23, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. There are times when death is so close by. Times when we want to sit and talk to somebody about heaven. Or we seek out the spiritual help of somebody because we know we're separated from God. We don't want death to catch us in that situation. And so we are drawing nigh to Him by finding someone to help us. You'll remember that sin that was committed soon after his conversion, by Simon, who was a sorcerer. He tried to buy the gift of God with money. He was told, your heart is not right in the sight of God. I see that you are in temptation, the bonds of iniquity. Pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. And he made a great response. Pray you to the Lord for me that none of the things which you have spoken come upon me. It's wonderful to have people close by at that time. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But there should be no fear when that time comes. Yes, we have help from others. Confess your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. James chapter 5, verse 16. But when death comes, if he hasn't come yet to your house, he's coming. Look down the street, and you can see, as it were, the black bunting surrounding every door. Because this, too, is one of the promises of God. But isn't it wonderful to know that along with that is the promise, the Lord is at hand. You know, when Hagar was cast out, Genesis chapter 16 tells us that she was at the point of death. But in her sorrow, she cried out to God, who looked down upon her and saw with her Ishmael, took pity and provided for them the water that was necessary to sustain their lives. Oh, we do have a Lord that is at hand. He is close by. He wants to hear us. He is the Lord that will see us when we obey or disobey. Obedience brings such wonderful promise, but it's absolutely necessary. The Lord is the Savior of those who obey Him. Though He were a son, yet learned he obedience for the things which he suffered, being made what? Being made perfect, being perfected in that. He became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Our Lord himself said, the one who is at hand. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7, verse 21. When we obey, the Lord is at hand. He sees that. In Revelation chapters 2 and 3, We're told that of the seven churches that are mentioned there in the introduction to that great letter, for every one of them, God said, I know your works. It's not all an evil life. All that we do is not sin, as some people would have us believe. There's much good to be done. And that's why we're in the kingdom of God. That's why we're trying to live the Christian life. Well, God knows that too. Eyes of the Lord are open to the righteous. His ears are open to their prayers. But the eyes of the Lord are open all the time, seeing both good and evil, because He sees everywhere. All things are naked and opened in the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 13:4. All the wonderful promise of God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, before the one who has seen all our works and knows all our deeds. That verse tells us we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that we must give an account for the deeds done in the body, whether good or bad. You see, the degree of our reward, the degree of our happiness in heaven is tempered by the good things we've done. The degree of shame, reproach, and pain that we face in hell is tempered by the evil that we have done. But you know, even during those times, when we've been far from the Lord, we have the wonderful promise, draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. There come a day, friends, when the Lord is at hand in a very special way. John 14, Jesus says, you need to walk with me. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place, I will receive you, that you may be with me eternally. Now, friends, this is the Word of God. It all starts and stops right here.